Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please do be seated. Start off this morning by saying hello to Brian. It's nice to have Brian with us this morning.
Hello, Brian.
If that sounds a bit like a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. Brian's an old friend of mine from school days, so we go back a long, long time, and done a lot of damage together each over the years. So it's nice to have you with us, Brian. Good to see you. I wasn't here last week because I was in Sharnbrook. Lovely church gathering there at Sharnbrook last week. And the week before I wasn't with you because I was in France. I went to France on... we just went over the weekend. And I have an observation of France for you. Generally our routine is to go over to France on the Saturday, stay overnight, Saturday night, come back Sunday after a little time just meandering around some little French villages, seeing the French people. And it was quite interesting, really, because we get up on the Sunday morning, and you know, you think you've got 5-6 hours to kill, so we thought we'd go to a little French town, and so we went to a little French town and decided that was ugly. So we went to another. I said, "We'll head to the coast." I said, "We'll head to the coast because lots of French towns in northern France, they are pretty ugly, aren't they? Really." So we went to the coast, and there's a lovely, lovely little French coastal town. But I don't know if you noticed, as you go through these French towns, nothing's painted, you know, the gardens are dilapidated, gates are hanging off, the gutters are all hanging off. Everything's very unkempt. And yet, when we went to the front there, all the French people are all walking up and down the seafront. As if everybody, from miles around, all went to the seafront. They were all promenading. French word. All promenading. And I reflect, you see, I reflect. Their houses are completely in a mess, but they don't care. They go and they walk and they promenade. And I was trying to think why this was. Are the French just a lazy people? You know, we would all be there cutting our grass, washing our cars, fixing our gutters, painting the eaves, doing all that kind of stuff. And I thought, no, it's because they're Roman Catholics. Now, this came to me as a blinding flash of light, but they never had the injustice of the Protestant work ethic. So, Mr. Fricker, you're a historian and a theologian and all those wise things, so you can take that back and reflect upon it. And you can tell me whether I'm right or wrong, but I think it's a lot to do with the whole Roman Catholic stuff going on. And perhaps, it's about the difference. Aha. Uh-huh. Theological bit. It's about the difference between being and doing. Yeah? Justified by grace and justified by works. That old Roman Catholic Protestant dichotomy. And obviously the French think that they're justified by being. And we think that we're justified by, you know, doing and getting out there and painting and cleaning and tidying and dusting and all those things that we fill our times with. Jim, thank you very much for your... epic this morning, yes. That is the longest discourse that we have for Jesus, speaking with somebody. It's a huge, long piece. Why? Why do we have this long dialogue between Jesus and the woman at the well? And it's there for a reason. You know, we know the Gospels aren't just thrown together. Oh, here's a bit of material, better stick that in. They're putting very carefully all the bits of information in our Gospels. The writer is making a point that this is a very serious episode. We can learn something from this dialogue that Jesus has with this Samaritan woman. Samaritans, those of you who came to the Lent course last week, will have heard me going on about the southern kingdom and the northern kingdom of Israel, and how the northern kingdom was taken over by the Assyrians, and loads of people were marched off into captivity. Some who remained, Samaria, the Samaritans, stayed there. And the people in the south said that they were breeding with all of the Canaanites and what have you around and became sort of half-breeds. But actually the Samaritans regarded themselves as being true Jews because they held to the Pentateuch very rigidly. That's the 5 books of the Old Testament. They didn't accept the later books hardly at all. And still today the Samaritans live on Mount Gerizim and regard Jerusalem as being sort of a later addition. You know, that David brought in Jerusalem and all that stuff. They regard themselves as the true Jews. And I understand there's about 1,000 of these Jews, these Samaritan Jews, still living there, who regard themselves as the true Jews. Not half-breeds, they're the ones who are true to the laws of Moses. And apparently, because there's only 1,000 of them left, it's quite a small gene pool. So there's all kinds of problems of, you know, genetic interbreeding and all the rest of it. And the Samaritans have now allowed male Samaritans to marry Jewish women. But of course the Jewish women don't really want to go into that kind of community, which is so rigid. If you have to obey all those laws of Moses, all those food laws, I mean, a woman would be unclean for so much of the time anyway. So it's quite a difficult sort of life to lead. So you could, but this whole antipathy towards these Samaritans was around at the time of Jesus. You know, we don't like people who are of different race. It's interesting, this week I went down to London to go and have a look at a new photocopy machine, because at the end of our contract had come up and we were trying to work out the best deal and all that kind of stuff. So I shot down to London. I had to travel on the commuter train. What a dreadful experience. What a dreadful experience. If you're a commuter, my heart bleeds for you. And I caught the train about, 7:30 or something. It's good to live in Bedford because, of course, you get a seat when you live in Bedford. If you live further down the line, all the seats have gone, I notice. So I don't know why more people don't move out of St. Albans and move to Bedford, because at least you will be able to sit on it. But then you get on the Underground. And the Underground is, it's worse than anything I experienced in Hong Kong or any other places with Underground trains. You literally are kind of forced on. And if you don't get on quick enough, the doors come back with such force. And they will, you know, chop your bottom off if you don't get in first of all. And I was just getting into this carriage when the doors closed behind me. It was just a wall of people in front of me. And my head went bump into here like this. And the doors came behind. And I found my head wedged between the chest of this really big black guy and the head of this little Chinese woman. And I'm kind of like this. I kid you not. And I'm standing there saying, oh, this is tight. And the Chinese lady said to me, she said, that's why we've got to stop all this immigration. I looked at her with a look of horror and disbelief as I was stood in this racial mix. And I kind of looked at her and said, I beg your pardon. And the black guy and the Chinese woman looked at me and they backed away. In the train. So I realised that the way to clear space for yourself, for me to clear space in a tube, is to share my politics. It was quite remarkable, quite remarkable. But you know, we don't like people who are different from us. That's the way we are. There's something inside of us that likes people like, you know, like we are. And the Jews didn't like the Samaritans. And I guess all kinds of rumours spread about the Samaritans. You know, they eat babies and goodness knows what else. And so Jesus speaking with a Samaritan was a remarkable thing. And not only was this woman a Samaritan, she was female. And men didn't talk to women. Certainly a Jewish rabbi, Jesus wouldn't talk to a woman. And not only was she a woman, she wasn't a particularly well-behaved woman either. We know, I mean, Jesus tells us that she'd had all these men. So she was a Samaritan who wasn't liked by the Jews. She was a woman. And she was a woman who'd been through lots of husbands. And perhaps that explains why she was drawing water at noon. Because, you see, the women wouldn't go to the well at noon. That's why it's specific about saying it was the sixth hour. It was noon. Here was a woman at the well when none of the other women were there. Why? Probably because she was on the margins of her own group. People look down their noses at you. You know what it's like in villages. You know what it's like around the villages, around here. The gossip and innuendo, all that kind of stuff. You can imagine what it would have been like in this little village. The gossip about this poor woman. So here she's really on the fringes. She's even ostracized by the people who've been ostracized. And yet Jesus spends all this time, as Jim has read to us, in conversation with her. So the point that John is making, look, Jesus spends most of his time with the people who nobody else will spend any time with. Again, it's Jesus turning the tables, reversing our expectations, showing us that he cares most deeply for those who are least loved. And it's a wonderful passage for that reason. It's interesting that the woman is given no name. I mean, we know the names of so many different people, but for this long discourse, the woman is not named. I just wonder if that's because there's some of all of us in this woman. And so it speaks very, very powerfully, especially to those who feel that perhaps somehow they're not up to the job. And the wonderful, wonderful thing about this reading is that not only does Jesus spend time with her, but he gives her a job to do. She's sent away to tell others about him. And she becomes one of the first missionaries. Somebody who society would have said, you're not up to anything, Jesus takes and consecrates and uses in his service. And through her simple testimony of what she knew, other people came to know Jesus. So there's something there for us to take away this morning. A, that not one of us can ever say that we are not up to being used in God's service. Jesus can look at every single one of us, and however much sin there is in us, there is grace enough for it all. And having loved us and saved us, we have a task to go and communicate this wonderful message to our world out there. That's why we've all been given Easter cards. We can take those Easter cards home and we can know that the message that they proclaim is good for our friends and neighbours. Introduce them to Jesus. Bring them along to church. Because we know that our gospel is what our nation and our community really, really needs. Because people have never changed since this woman. We're all in need of the love of Jesus. Amen.